When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, heroes, and welcome to another exciting episode of One Shot. I'm Tracy Barnett, your host and narrator. Heroes, today we continue our second trip to one of my favorite games, Sleepaway. I just want to reiterate how absolutely lovely it was to play this game with Aram and Brian. I could not have asked for two better people to sit down with me and literally just pull this together in less than half an hour. It was a delight. Listening back to it during the edit, just hearing some of the things that we got to bring to life and some of the things that we got to do and say, it was just wonderful. So, I'm just going to let the game speak for itself. Enjoy! And now we are going to do our character questions. So each of our playbooks has questions on it that we are to ask of someone else. So essentially we'll each end up asking both other people one question. Why don't we just go in the same order that we started in? So Brian, why don't you pick a question and ask, then Aram, you can ask your first question. I'll ask my first and then we'll go back to Brian and wrap it up.
Okay. And do I ask, like, essentially, would I ask both of them to the same player or just like one to each player? Or one to any other player.
And I would say, if it seems appropriate, ask one of the Ropes Keeper and one of the Lifeguard. So, yeah, ask one question and ask Spartacus one question. And we'll do your first question, then Aram will do his first.
Okay, then have I already forgotten my character's name? I have, because it was, that's
Canvas.
Right. Canvas.
Yeah.
Yes. To Aram's Lifeguard from Canvas, why do I keep falling in love with you?
I'm just hot. like I'm kind of a pain in the ass. I'm a little dumb. But man, I'm just smoking hot. I'm up there in the lifeguard chair in those 5-inch bright red shorts, right? I've got kind of long blonde hair. I've got these watery eyes. And I'm just hot.
Fair enough.
And I'm nice. I'm like, I never get it.
I like how you added that at the end.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like I'm never mean. I'm always nice. But I also never get that anyone's ever attracted to me. So I never pick up the signs. I'm never aware, but I'm always nice.
Okay.
Very good. Aram, what's your first question? Or we should start addressing people in character names. So Chet, what's your first question?
Yeah. Well, it's funny because my first question was going to be, are you still in love with me to Canvas? But I guess we've answered that. So my first question instead is going to be to Spartacus. How did I save you from metaphorically drowning?
Oh, gosh. I think that it was last summer, right? And I had been leaning in really hard to the whole hermit thing. And I think there was a set of other arranged events, right, where the campers were all doing other things, like a week-long camp Olympics or something like that, right? And the ropes area had its own featured thing that had nothing to do with these Olympics, right? These are all like field games. They're all happening out in the field or on the lake or something like that. And no one saw me for a week. I was just fucking gone because everyone else was busy doing things. And I think that I had decided that that was going to be it. Not that I was like going to shuffle off this mortal coil, but like, yeah, I can just be by myself forever. That's fine. Yeah. And I think on like the day before, I was just going to vanish into the woods and just peace out. And not worry about any of this shit anymore. You came by. And I don't think it was anything major. Like, I think you brought a jar of peanut butter, some half-stale Ritz crackers, and a joint.
Yeah.
And you didn't... Well, it ended up being half each. I don't even think you said anything. I think you just climbed up the ropes course to, like, the spot.
Yeah.
And just set out the peanut butter and, like, a battered butter knife and the crackers. And you just lit it up and wordlessly just passed it to me. And something about that...
When we were high, like after the second pass around, right? I looked at you and I was like, you know, like as we're up in the trees at night, looking out over this beautiful, just night sky, I was like, you know, sometimes the sky is kind of like the lake. And it's the only thing I said the whole time.
And I don't remember if I said it out loud or if it was just in my head, but I just went, you dumb fucker. And I think there was, if I were anybody else, it would have been like that thing where you just sort of check someone's shoulder with your shoulder, like companionably. I think I moved like 3 inches closer, and that's about and it looked like I was just reaching for a cracker that had rolled away or something. But that moment kept me grounded. It reminded me of why other people need to be around and why I need to be around them sometimes. And I stayed. I didn't head off, you know, in that moment. God damn, I'm getting emotional already. I mean, you know, to whatever the fuck years into this pandemic and talking about being isolated from people, like that's sometimes you just
struck a chord.
Sometimes you just want to not stay, and you know, good people make you stay. So, hey Canvas, why did I stop loving you?
Wow. Side note, the last time we played a game together, I also got emotional. So yeah, this is about to happen. No. I would say, let's see. I wanted more than you could give emotionally. I wanted to know more of you, and you were not willing to let me in.
And that's why I stopped loving you? Because you wanted more and I...
Because I was unwilling to continue. I was unwilling to keep trying. After that,
they were a blank canvas.
You know, there's always still. I'm saying sometimes, you know, you have to basically fill the canvas together. And when someone else's portrait is already finished, and there's nothing for you to add, there are no little trees for you to daub in. Oh anymore. My!
How can I love you if I'm always writing in the margins?
I mean. Like, look, that may have been an overwrought hippy dippy metaphor, but I think it's fucking accurate for this setup. That's impactful. I see myself in this picture and I don't like it. You know what I mean? Good. God damn.
Because I also, you know, I think about the fact that I'm now thinking that these are counselors who these are basically counselor employees, volunteers who this is not their first year. So they all have known each other, and it does become that awkwardness of the kind of people that you work with and you only see over the summer, and you almost forget that they exist when you're not there. And then you come back and you realize, oh, we have this history that only exists in this place.
And it's a capital H history, right? Like it's obviously not a small set of things. Because I don't think this game deals in small sets of things. Canvas, what's your second question? God, what's your question for me, I guess, is the question after
indeed.
All of this.
Yeah. Let me see here. Wait, I was there a second ago. Nope, wait. There it is. Oh, yes. How did you rescue me?
I think this one was literal. And I think it may have kicked off our relationship, however long or short it was. But I think you actually just got lost in the woods, like full on lost. The way this camp is set up from what we've described so far, I'm really picturing it being in an area like the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, right? It's a relatively still untamed, kind of wild place. There aren't a lot of like towns around. There aren't a lot of people around. There's the lighthouse, which is why there's anything here at all. There's a beach that people visit in tourist season, but like it's northern Michigan. Tourist season is about 2.5 months long because it's otherwise just too cold with the wind coming off Lake Michigan blowing over that part of Lake Superior. It's just not...
We pack a lot into those 3 months.
It's not worth it. And so the woods are actual no shit woods. It's not, you know, oh, all the pine trees go in rows because someone replanted this clear cut area. These are trees. These are trees that may not be like original growth, but they're here because the area was only cut once and it was in 1810.
Yeah, they're still old and they cling because it's all like steep, rocky cliffs with then breakouts of beach, right? So they're on those edges. Those roots are just dug into the stone over the edge, clinging on, and they're always wet and always damp and there's always
and
moss.
Every pine tree looks like every other pine tree. So I think you actually, like, there's a group on the ropes course and you had like led them over and you knew that I had them for like the hour or two and you were going to go look for like mushrooms or something that you could use to make a dye, you know, some actual like crafty thing, right? Or you had heard a cicada, right? That's one of the sounds of magic in this area. And, you know, you went to follow it and like the ropes course was done. Looking around and there's no canvas anywhere. So like I take the kids back. Like I actually leave the ropes course and take them back and I get back to the ropes course expecting that I'll just see you and you're not there. And I think I find you like 2 hours later with like a sprained ankle, you know, just sort of like not able to like make it back because you don't know which direction back is. And I lead you back. And I've got like a lift, like a pulley system lift that one person can operate to get up to that sort of penthouse. So I don't have to go through the whole fucking ropes course myself every time. And I think that like I use like a mirror and a flashlight to like signal through the woods that everything's okay. And you stay in the perch or whatever it is that night. And I like... actually kept you from potentially starving or, you know, dying of thirst is more likely, but actually saved you from the woods.
And see, and that's obviously the best way to start off a relationship. So that was all the canvas would have needed to just basically fall. Although honestly, canvas is falling for somebody like every week. So it's not personal.
Right. Always turning a page.
That sounded really bad when I say it like that, but yes, no, but you know,
I understand. Oh goodness. That means that Aram's next, or Chet's next question is for me. Also.
Yes. Yes. And so when did we fight?
Oh, God.
We're the two bros. So when did we fight?
I think it was like the...
You should answer this. I apologize.
I think it was because I'm not around a lot, right? I'm also especially not near the lake. That's like the opposite of the vibe that I want. I want the overgrown trees and the mist and direct sun is like not my favorite thing in the world. But I think for like the opening ceremonies of camp, I think it was this year's camp. We all have to be there, right? We're all the counselors. It's in the mess hall or it's in the cafeteria. We're all there. And I don't even think it was anything really, nothing real that you did. I think that I was just agitated about having to be here because I wanted to just be where I'm used to being and being comfortable. And yeah. I just saw you laughing and joking and having a good time.
Yeah, I did some bullshit. Yeah.
I think like none of the campers heard it, but I think like a whip crack, I just at one point in time just told you to shut the fuck up. And
yeah,
I was hurt. Because you, one, didn't know why I would have said that. And two, in front of everybody, like,
yeah, dude, not cool.
And I think it turned into like I lost some of that like stoicism, and I was like, dude, you're the one who's not cool. And I think we actually got into like a little like chest bumping match.
Well, I'm very cool. How dare you?
Oh no!
And I
was just being cool by myself, and then you were.
And I think, it stopped short of like people having to pull us apart. But if one of the senior camp staff hadn't like snapped a finger or blown a whistle to get someone else's attention, it would have turned into that. Like, I think your not knowing why and my irrational anger at nothing just would have kept escalating until we actually were trying to punch each other.
Yeah. I'm going to put a rope swing over the water just to spite you now.
I think on the heels of that, this is a really good question for Yeet over there. Why were you banned from entering my woods?
Ooh.
Oh, that's good. Okay. Oh, why was I banned from entering your... I know why. Because you were off doing something, right? And like it was marshmallow time. And like they like the kids really want to do marshmallows. Like I can't just have them wait for marshmallows. I'm like, marshmallows, marshmallows. What? So we had to go do the marshmallows. And like, I know you're supposed to make the fire, but it didn't seem that hard. Well, it was a little hard. So I caught a little bit. Of the forest on fire. Just a little bit. You know, it was handled. But that's why.
Fucking.
Kind of caught it on fire.
Burned the woods. Like.
Singed. Charred.
The woods.
A small part of the woods.
Never like, again.
Like.
Wow. That's legit. That is fair.
I said I was sorry. The kids were very freaked out. Like I was trying to be cool.
So real quick, this is just a quick mechanical digression, right? Because now we've established these relationships and I think we have some fodder to like begin going on for this story. The last page of your character sheet are all of the moves that we can take, right? And each one of us has a lure, right? It's a thing that when they interact with your character or a space you control in a specific way, they get a token, right? So I think making those known up front is useful for story-based purposes.
Yeah, no, totally.
So my lure is every when someone runs to my woods to escape a problem, they get a token.
Always the safe move. No, always the safe move in a horror definitely. Game.
Honestly,
sprint to the woods.
Yeah.
What's the lure of the crafter?
Every time someone questions your eccentric worldview, they get a token.
Ooh,
cool.
Everybody's cool. Getting all the tokens apparently today because that's
that's delicious. What's Chet's lure?
Chet's lure. Every time someone asks for his help to stay afloat, they gain a token.
Nice.
And that's kind of broad.
Yeah.
Which I like.
I like the I like the open-endedness of a lot of this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
we can interpret what afloat is. We can interpret exactly. Yeah. I like that. I like that quite a lot.
We all have a few strong moves and weak moves and regular moves that are the same. Because those are like part and parcel with the game. So like get out of harm's way and reinterpret the Lindworm's play by redirecting it through blank are all things that we have available to us. Take action, leaving yourself vulnerable. That is a regular move we all have, right? And we're going to use that one a lot. And then invite the Lindworm to act upon the group is the other one that we all have. And then we have ones that are unique to each of us. I don't think we need to read those aloud right now, but just know that we all have common points of like fictional access. And then there are things that we can each do that are unique to our characters. So we each have these moves. We also have the setting elements that we all start with, right? So for the crafter, it's the magic, but it has to be put down quickly. For our lifeguard, it is the strangeness, as we talked about. And for me, it is the woods. And with that, I really like the energy of that exchange that we are having, Chet, of the fire.
Yeah.
I really think that we are all sitting around the fire, us, some campers. I don't know if Canvas is there or not, totally applicable for him to be. But I think the kids are having marshmallow time. And we're like just a little bit too far off to the side, and I'm in the process of banning your ass from these woods.
look, they got the marshmallows?
Yeah, they got
the woods. The woods are okay.
They're okay because I got here in time, Chet.
Yeah, and if you'd been here, they really would have been fine because you would have done marshmallows, Chet. Sorry, because you would have done marshmallows.
Spartacus.
Because you would have done marshmallows.
Spartacus.
Spartacus. The name you would have done marshmallows. Who chooses the name Spartacus? It's me.
I believe the name was chosen for you.
You would have been here, Spartacus, to do marshmallow time, but you wanted to do marshmallow time, so someone had to do it.
You know, I have shit to do, and you know. This right here, and points to like the charred spots on the ground. This is why I'm the one who starts the fires over here. This is why, like, I'm not the one who caused the problem here. You are.
Well, you could argue that your lack of action did lead to the problem here.
Spartacus. Lack of action? You want to see some lack of action? Bye.
At this point, Canvas, who's just been staring at the fire this whole time, looks off to the side of both of you, and like, you know, like the marshmallow that was on his stick is completely, it is turned into the molten. He's not paying attention to it at all. It's just gone. And he's like, do you have to do this now? And then like body language indicates the campers.
Right.
When I said bye, I am using a weak move. I am shattering my friend's trust in me by fleeing.
Oh no. Yeah, just walk away. Okay.
So I'm gonna put a token on my sheet over here, because I get a token for using a weak move. And
okay, and
I leave. The thing that I am prompted to ask after this is, how is your character jealous of mine in this moment when I just dip on all my responsibilities?
Because you could dip on all your responsibilities.
That sentence was basically the answer to the question.
I'm a lifeguard. I can't dip on my responsibilities. If I dip on my responsibilities, a child dies. You just run off into the woods for a week and F off, which is the reason why we had the fire in the first place. And I hate the fact that I can't do that.
Don't burn down the woods, asshole.
Just like, and I don't have a comeback. And I never do, and I always get it later, and I'm like, well, you don't burn down the woods, asshole.
Nice.
The kids
one.
Even are like, oh,
nice,
man.
Nice one. That was, yeah.
And we're in the woods right now, yeah?
Yeah.
We are in the woods.
Yeah. We'd have to be a little deep in the woods for marshmallow time. Otherwise, you can't tell ghost stories.
This is making it even worse that you nearly burned down the woods if we're that deep into them. Like,
that's why it was really,
it was pretty
tense,
bad. But, okay, yeah, it was pretty bad.
Fortunately, again, it's wet evergreens. They didn't burn. They just don't burn quick.
So, like, I'm curious as to what the mood around the marshmallow time fire is like after Spartacus storms off.
I mean, we try and get them back into it quick, but this is really Canvas's territory because they're the storyteller, they're the creative. So I would just be like, you know, I'd be looking at the kids and like motioning to Canvas, like, you know, hey, we got to do something.
All right. At this point, yeah. Seeing how it just got very weird and very awkward, this, I would say that this is when the magic would start to weave in. And this is when Canvas is in a bit in his element. And there was just a very awkward scene between the people who are supposed to have it together at all of this, even though, mm-hmm. yeah, one of them may have been 100% justified in their actions. We're not going to say who because we don't point fingers here. We just reach out and hold hands. Okay. At this point, I would say just to kind of keep the camper's attentions on the marshmallows, and you know, he's like passing around the what if s'mores made of graham crackers and chocolate.
Graham crackers, yeah,
marshmallows and chocolate. Yeah, he's passing out the graham crackers and chocolate so everyone can kind of get their smush going on. And yeah, he's telling a story about it's not even very imaginative. It's really just kind of weaving a story about the history of these woods and letting the campers and the surrounding know like that there is a history here and that this should be respected, and leaning in a little bit of a safety lesson, like this is why, you know, you have to be careful and you have to respect everything here, just like we respect ourselves, just like we respect one another. And when you don't respect everything, that's when everything's out of balance, and maybe, you know, maybe you might fight with a friend. And he's kind of eyeing some of the campers who he knows are already having a tough time socializing, mm-hmm. and he's just like, everything here has to be in balance. And it's not honestly great because, you know, basically kind of trying to cover for two assholes.
I have a question. Yeah. The woods have, because you called on like the history of the woods specifically, there are a couple of moves on the woods page. And I want to ask you which one you think would happen. There are two that I'm looking at. So it's reveal a new secret that must be grappled with or express the woods pain. Which of the two do you think the woods brings into the situation based on your story?
Based on this story, Canvas has on the spot made up, or perhaps called into being, a sort of spirit of the woods, but not just any, these woods, mm-hmm. a spirit of these woods. And essentially the spirit is sort of a caretaker of the woods. And I guess this kind of leans into both of them, but I'm really going reveal a secret as opposed to express the woods pain. The spirit that he's telling about is a caretaker of the woods, which is why when you come into the woods, you must respect the space. And he may also be thinking a little bit of Spartacus as this story is coming to light, because this is really Spartacus's domain. But you must respect them. You must care for them, and they will care for you. Those who don't respect the woods, they become lost. They can't find their way. They find they're unable to make controlled fires. You know, little things like that.
Yeah, people like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a caretaker of the woods, right? And I think that a wind picks up, right? And you can hear the creaking of branches and things rubbing against one another. And I think that this caretaker like makes its presence known specifically to Chet. Yeah. And you've got total veto power over this. I want you to know, because this is not a game master yeah. situation, but it just feels narratively appropriate.
Oh, where are you going with this?
Canvas said that if you don't care for the woods, you can become lost. And you specifically mm-hmm. highlighted people that can't set fires correctly. And I think that, like, the fire, the wind, when it blows through, the fire flares up because of the extra oxygen, and the shadows all around deepen. And I think, Chet, when you say, yeah, like that, you realize that you're saying it to no one.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, heroes, and welcome to the mid-roll. Heroes, if you like heroes like yourselves, or heroes of the super variety, then you need to be on our Twitch channel Monday, May 16th, that is 2 weeks from this posting date, twitch.tv/oneshotrpg, so you can join Jeff Stormer on Miracle Monday. Jeff has put together a stellar selection of games run by all kinds of different people from across the network and beyond, all to raise money for Trans Lifeline. That's a cause that we here at the network believe very deeply in, and we really hope that you'll show up and support Jeff's stream. Also, did you know that James has written books? Like, not just one, but at 3 books plus an expanded edition of one of those books, plus he edited a games anthology? It's amazing stuff. If you go to the show notes, you will find a link there to his publisher's website, and there you can buy all of the books that James has written. I'm talking about the Ultimate RPG Character Backstory Guide, or the new one that has expanded genres, the Ultimate RPG Gameplay Guide, the Ultimate RPG Game Master's World Building Guide, and the Ultimate Micro RPG Book. I've picked up all of these. They're all wonderful, and I think James should be really, really proud of the work that he's done. So throw him some support and head over to his publisher's website and buy yourself a book. Buy a friend a book. It's well worth it.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Now, with all that out of the way, let's get back to the show.
Yeah, I had like turned, I had gone off to grab some, a few extra logs for the fire. So I had gone 10 feet off to the right. Yeah, like that. And I turn around and there's a little pool of light on me. Everything else is darkness. It's as dark and as black as when I'm out by the lake late at night. So now everything just past this edge feels like lake, even though I know it's forest. It feels like that deep, empty strangeness I always feel out there, but it's just darkness.
Can I suggest at this point in time that the move that you are making is inviting the Lindworm to act upon the group? Does that feel appropriate?
Yeah. 100%.
Okay. All right.
Do I get a token?
Because it's a weak move.
Weak move, bro.
It's like, weak. Yeah, that's exactly how I'm interpreting it. Dude, that's weak.
The two of you, close your eyes. Okay, I knocked it. I don't know if you could hear it.
I have the screen covered. I'm like, I'm not closing my eyes, but I'm like, the hands are, I don't know what's happening in front of me, and it's very awkward.
If we were playing in person, Brian, I would be laying this card down sort of on the group that you are around, and it is a 7 of clubs. And the entry for that reads, secrets, old objects emerging from the undergrowth. Campers saw the Lindworm and won't talk about it. who. So as you're saying all of that about the caretaker of the forest and, you know, people not doing things well, like the shadows deepen, and one camper in particular just screams and like points behind you. And we need to figure out who that camper is real quick.
Okay.
Yeah, so we need a name and a gender.
Can the gender be faux wolf? I don't know why, but I love
faux
that.
Faux wolf, yeah.
Yeah, fake wolf. Faux wolf. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, faux wolf. But we yeah. need, so that's Wait, that's from need, one oh, column. We need something else well? From the other column. So
Oh, yeah. got you. Okay.
Yeah, I would go with adjacent.
Adjacent.
Adjacent faux wolf.
And I think this kid's name, the name they go by at camp is Buttercup.
Sure.
That's the only name they'll answer to. And Buttercup just screams and points, and like the other kids go over and try and comfort them, and Buttercup won't say anything. Canvas, what do you do?
So they Buttercup pointed
behind you.
Behind, like,
yeah, in the direction that Chet went off to gather more wood.
A little bit freaked out at this, but seeing that Buttercup is this freaked out, I kind of not even kind of dealing with that at the moment. Canvas moves over to Buttercup and kind of just is like noticing that they are, whatever it is, it's not normal scared of the dark. It's not normal scared of the woods. This is something deep and ingrained. And I think I will use a regular move to teach Buttercup a small charm for good luck.
Oh, nice.
Aww.
To explain that, you know, whenever you're scared, it looks like he's actually making a cat's cradle with his hands.
Oh,
and he
cool.
says, whenever you're scared, just, you know, I want you to imagine it because you've done this before. You've played this game before. Just imagine it there. And as long as you keep making that, nothing can harm you. It will always get caught in the cradle, even if you don't have the strength. So I think that's going to be a regular move for Canvas just to comfort the camper.
Yeah.
That's
Canvas is so nice.
Canvas is great.
I like Canvas.
What's Chet doing?
Question: Can Chet is Chet still in darkness?
You tell us.
Forever.
I would think yes. Well, no, right. Like that's it for Chet. End of story. I would say yes. So Chet's surrounded by darkness, but Chet could hear Buttercup scream. So at first Chet was like fearful of stepping into this utter complete darkness, but the second he hears Buttercup scream, he just plunges into it. So he's sprinting through absolute blackness towards her screaming.
What kind of move do you think that is? Take a look at your sheet, because there's got to be something that works.
Let's see. Did you get a do you have a token yet?
I do have a token that I just got.
Strong.
It does feel strong. Like I'm playing. I mean, his whole thing is that he wants to keep people safe. So he would spend whatever he had to do it. So I'm going to say keep pushing forward even as everything tries to stop you.
Yeah.
So no matter what's in that darkness, no matter what I bump into, no matter what reaches out to claw at me, I'm going forward.
That's fucking that dope. Token. Yeah, describe running through the woods and what happens as you see like a shadow sort of looming.
Yeah.
And then you tackle Spartacus to the ground.
So it's like the strangeness.
Oh no.
Yeah. So it's like the strangeness, right? When I am out there deep in the lake and it's just me and I go deep underwater, I can hear something. The deeper I go, the more I can hear it. Something is whispering. And as I'm running through the woods, I can hear that. I can hear it like the voices are pressing in. And then I can feel branches, but are they branches or are they hands slapping against me as I'm running through? Are they clawing at me or am I just getting tangled up? And as I'm fighting and fighting and fighting, I just wham, just slam right into a Spartacus. And we go tumbling into the light, I suppose.
I think it's like just a set of like camp lights, that like battery powered camp lights that are just like around the ropes course.
Yeah.
What the fuck, dude?
Oh, God. Man, it was dark and like, it was so dark that I couldn't see things because I need the dark to see.
He just says that.
We're just going to let that go.
Can we make this one of those? You absolutely ended up just on top of me and our faces are like
100%
inches 100%. Apart.
And like, I'm not acknowledging it or moving. I'm just like really freaked out and trying to share information with you.
Dude, get off of me. Like,
oh move. Man. Yeah.
I would get up and I'd offer you a hand to get up. Just yank it right up.
I think just because of who Chet is, that the impact of shattering your friend's trust in you is a lot shorter lived than
it would be
with most other people. And so,
right. Chet is that empty vessel. Like, it does not matter. It really does not matter.
I get real pissed in the moment, right? Like, I'll fight, but give me a couple seconds to cool off, half a beer, I'm good.
So I think I let you actually pull me up, but I think that it's one of those things, and I think Chet would be oblivious to this, but like, you were just on top of me and it got a little tense in a specific way for Spartacus, and then you pull me up, but either I weigh less than you thought I did or you're stronger than I think you are. And you,
which is frustrating for you because upper body strength is your thing, man, and you're all about it.
You pull me up and I come flying forward closer and I think I bump into your chest and you check up against like a support for the thing and suddenly we're like,
totally.
We're back in the exact same position except now we're holding on to each other's hands.
And right, just, now you're on top of me.
And it's just our arms between us and we're like, and one of my regular moves is communicate with silence better than words can.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to like turn your hand back to your chest and just press it there for like, if it were anyone else, you would have almost thought that it didn't happen. It was so fleeting.
Yeah.
And then like shake my arm and start brushing myself off. Like,
yeah, and Chet's just like good with physical contact. Just like completely comfortable with this entire encounter. Almost oblivious, but also just like enjoys touch. Like, that's kind of Chet's language. So Chet's cool.
Oh, man. We got to get back to the kids.
Why aren't you still there?
Because of the darkness. Look, we got to go.
He'd grab your hand and he'd start running back. Like, he would just grab your hand and start running back towards the kids.
Okay. I think I'm just going to let it happen. And we head back there. What scene do we get to? What do we see when we get back there? Their canvas.
Well, Buttercup has calmed down a bit and is almost ritually doing the same kind of cat's cradle move that was just taught by Canvas. And
it's idyllic. If we just let Canvas run the camp, everything would be fine. We come back and it's perfection.
I'm sure Canvas has flaws somewhere.
No, he doesn't.
but he's clearly like he's clearly out of his element simply because like this is more campers than any one of the counselors was meant to handle at one time. So he is trying to check in and he is getting the grumpy looks. He's getting, now some of the campers are just bored of this. Like, it was fun for a minute and now the marshmallows are kind of getting goopy because people are like, the chocolate is already melting because it's kind of a warm night and the s'mores just aren't working the way they were. So he, like, if he hears your approach, since it's the woods, so I'm assuming that you're kind of crunching a little louder than the fire's crackles, then he will, like, you see him turn and look in your direction, and even though the firelight is behind him, you can still sense the look on his face of like, get back here and handle your shit.
You're more of a one-on-one counselor. You're there for that intimate, important time when the kid needs to talk. You really don't like when it's 30 at once.
This is a lot, okay?
Yeah. But that's where I shine. I like them in big numbers. I get really freaked out when they come to me with something personal.
And Chet, are you still holding Spartacus's hand as you pull through?
I would let go once we got there, not for any other reason that I would. Yeah. I just grabbed their hand because I thought it was going to turn dark again. I was afraid I'd lose them. So it was just a practical thing for him. So as soon as they get to the camp, he would just drop it.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So as we break into the firelight, I think that Canvas definitely sees us, like, drop hands.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
Okay. Yeah, that's slightly less important than being left alone with this number of campers, which we have not defined, but it's obviously one camper too many for Canvas.
yeah, it's more than one.
We're just going to file that away. Dang! Look. You shut up. But yeah, so yeah, Canvas will note that, but that's less important than both of you getting back and doing your job, because it's campfire and s'mores night. Get it together.
Yeah, it's a big night.
We do it every night. It's actually not that big. It's just that's tonight.
Yeah, like I also totally forgot to get the wood, so I have to like, walk. Oh no, hang on. I go back, grab a few logs, come back. They're wet. They're not good logs. Like, toss them on, they sizzle and crack and smoke.
God, just fucking let me do it. And
sorry.
And
I get nervous when I'm not helpful.
She must be nervous a lot.
Oh, that right is over uncalled his head. For.
Missed it completely. Yeah, I am.
Uncalled for. Maybe you should go get some dry firewood.
What do you think I was about to do?
I can't tell, because all the sass you were sending was clearly not moving your legs.
Ah, well, he has no rejoinder, no comeback, no response.
Chet's just like, man, I wish I was that clever. Like he's going back and forth, and Chet's like, wow, like they only just have one, they got the next one ready, man.
I'm going to make a regular move. I'm going to take action, leaving myself vulnerable, right? I'm going to head to the woods. But, like, something obviously redirected Chet somewhere. Because, like, the fire and the ropes course are not, like, hard up next to each other.
Yeah.
The rope.
And he should have, like, Chet should not have, like, there should not have been darkness so much that he would not have been able to find his way back to fire.
Right. Or... he wouldn't have gone
oh,
that
yeah, it
far.
It was really dark.
He wouldn't have gone that far away, right?
Yeah.
So what happens to Spartacus when he heads into the woods to get some dry wood?
So I'd say that, you know, Chet's like fully with the kids now. Chet's like singing and like tossing kids up in the air. So he's fully in his element, focused on the kids. Mm-hmm. If you go away for a while, maybe Canvas is the one that notices that you've just plunged back into the woods.
Fair enough. What am I vulnerable to, I guess, is the question, right? Because I've left myself vulnerable. So what, and you can just say, what bad thing happens to me? Like,
yeah.
Well, it's seeing as Canvas has just sort of invoked an entity or feeling in the woods. Mm-hmm. I believe that as Spartacus wanders back to find firewood, Spartacus is used to these woods. They are familiar with them. There's not, like, they don't get lost in these woods. They know exactly where they are at all times. And maybe it's because they were snapping at Canvas. Maybe it's because they were snapping at Chet. Maybe because there's a whole lot of hormones going on from the falling and the this. Yeah. They're unbelievably lost.
The shadows are playing. The darkness isn't where it should be. Everything's moving strange. The light from the moon keeps shifting as if the moon is circling around you, as if it's the one trying to lead you astray.
It sounds like you're channeling some of the strangeness there, Aram. Is there a particular move
100%.
That you're working on?
Something about what happened when we came here. Something got into the woods. Okay, so something came up from the depths and is now in these woods somehow. quietly push people in weird directions. I want the forest to push us all apart into our own little weirdness.
Okay.
I want it to separate us.
Mm.
So to me, that says that, well, one, I mean, it's easy for Spartacus, right? Because Spartacus is already kind of separated. Does that mean that, like, the marshmallow time is wrapping up and you are all escorting campers back to the cabins and that separation happens on the way back?
I'm getting them ready to start to head back, but Spartacus isn't back yet. So I'm like, hey, listen, I got the kids. I'll get them packed up. Just get Spartacus because we got to get out of here.
Right. And Canvas is going to start breaking down and cleaning and you know, making sure the fire is out. So, oh, that's even worse because he'll be reducing the source of light as he's trying to make sure the fire is safely put out.
Yeah.
So he's starting the kids back
towards camp. And yeah.
We are essentially in three different places at this point. Ugh.
It kind of feels to me that like we are all in a position to make the same weak move and have it affect each of us individually. I mean, I don't know how y'all are feeling, but it feels like Lindworm time over here.
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, yeah.
We're opening ourselves up.
I was going to say, Lindworm seems good now. These others are going to seem fun later.
Yeah. So I think this is happening to each of us. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to draw three cards. Well, it's three cards for each. So I think we as players all know it's going to be happening because usually I draw three cards and then pick the most appropriate one. So I'm going to do that for each of us. So I'll start with Chet. How's that sound with the kids?
Okay.
And when I give you these things, you get
you to go marching yeah, two by two.
You get to interpret what happens and what it means. So
yeah.
So doing cards, the Lindworm avoids hearts if possible. So we're going to avoid.
Who's got your buddy? Sound off.
Oh, there's that one's.
I know you don't got a buddy, Steven. It's okay. You can hold my hand. I told you it's fine.
Oh, okay, cool. So.
Oh, no.
Chet, you get the Eight of Clubs.
Okay.
The elements here are mistakes, manipulation. Campers have started playing with animal bones. Who?
Kevin. It's always fucking Kevin. Like, we're not supposed to play favorites, okay?
That right? came way too fast. That answer, honestly, Kevin just showed up way too fast.
Sorry.
It's so good. Keep it rolling.
I mean, it's like, he's just, you know, he's always got to be different. He's always got to be a little weird.
Kevin is a closed dragon.
Kevin is a closed dragon. Yeah. Also, like, Kevin won't swim. And I know he's got a card because of his ear. But, like, it's hard for me to trust people who don't swim. You know.
Bones, 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 playing with animal bones. Clickety-clack, clickety-clack. Hey, Kevin, an what snack.
You... Well, oh, Kevin, what you got there, man? What you
Nothing.
Got?
Nothing.
Oh.
Nope.
Let me see.
No.
Kevin, no. We talked about this. Do you want to go to the snack shack or not?
Of course I want to go to the snack shack.
Well, then show me what you got there, Kevin.
Do you have any kind of moves or anything on your sheet that would convince him to do that?
That's a good question. I am going to... Yeah, you know what? Tend to someone's wounds. So, like, he's going to be like, go on, kids, keep on walking. You know, just like, because they can, like, kind of see the camp. Mm-hmm. Where they are at this point. So I'm like, just keep on
walking.
They've
broken the edge of the woods.
Yeah. And I just kneel down with Kevin. And like every time Kevin shows up, like sometimes it's his mom, sometimes it's his dad. They never stay around to talk like the other parents do. They're always in a hurry to drop him off and get out of there. Right. Mm-hmm. So I just sit back and I'm like, look, Kevin, like I know this can be kind of a weird place. And I know that sometimes like we want to be weird because people think we're weird. And it's just easier, but you don't have to always do that here, man. You can just sometimes, you know, just be a kid.
You see like his shoulders slump a little bit, and for just a moment, like he opens his hands and there are tiny animal bones in them, but they're broken and shattered in pieces, and there's blood all over his hands from where his skin has been pierced by the animal bones. And like when you look up at his face, he smiles like your words had an impact on him, and his teeth are animal bones. And you just hear in like this voice that is definitely not his for a second.
I found them in the woods.
And you blink, and then it's just Kevin holding like some old animal bones.
I got like a fist. Like,
oh
like
my gosh.
I was about to deck Kevin straight up. Oh, hey, that's, well, you know what, Kevin? You know what we say? What we find in the woods, we leave in the woods.
Oh, leave in the woods. Yeah.
We leave in the woods. Okay, exactly. So that's great, Kevin. But we got to leave it here.
I have to go put him back.
Well, you can just put him right here. Look, there's a lovely stump right there, Kevin. Why don't you put him right there? Oh. The forest will know.
The forest will know. This is getting... The forest is getting more and more of a like fourth player here at this point.
And I think as he goes over and does that, the wind picks up again and the trees...
Yeah. I don't even know why I said that. Like, I just said it.
The trees begin to creak, and I think it's time for the card draw for Canvas.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
We all invited the Lindworm, didn't we?
Yeah, and so make sure you give yourself a point. All right, avoiding hearts. Oh. The card for Canvas is the Two of Diamonds. Approaching danger, small things in pain, the flayed corpse of a squirrel. And I'm going to do it one better. It's not just missing its skin, but I think as you're walking through the woods, you accidentally step on it and it just squishes because it's missing all of its bones.
Gross.
Oh.
Flesh squirrel. Yeah.
That's great. Okay. I don't like this at all.
It's a squirf.
It's not a squirf.
It's a squirf.
Oh, no. So, yeah, in that moment, like, Canvas is, you know, he's got the trash bag out and he is putting away the supplies. He's, you know, he's basically moved the rock ring a little closer in around the campfire. He's been pouring.
I don't think you step on it. I think you accidentally pick it up to put it in the.
Oh, I shouldn't have said anything, but oh, no. In that case, I do not know how far the forest will let this carry, but you hear the most high-pitched scream.
This episode of One Shot features music from the following artists: Meadow by Stephen Keach, Rapids on the River by Dario Benedetti, We All Have a Place by Curtis Parks, Time for Healing by Gold Coast, Breath of Life by Darren Cooper, A World Suspended by Brent Wood, Miles Away by Michael Bergoglio, Sandals and Sundowns by Cast of Characters, Curiosity by Shimmer, Asylum by Cody Martin, and Cobalt by Scott Buckley. This episode of One Shot was edited and sound designed by Tracy Barnett. You can find more of their work online anywhere at The Other Tracy. Well, that's it for One Shot this week. But don't worry, we're going to be back with the finale of the second Sleepaway series next week. As always, we end One Shot with a call to action, and heroes, this one's tough, I'm not going to lie. You have probably seen in the news that a draft opinion was released by the Supreme Court, and it's very likely that the highest court in the land is going to overturn Roe versus Wade. That will make it possible, legal, for a lot of states that have extremely restrictive abortion laws on the books to actually enforce those. It is a horrific, just, I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time with this one. Everyone should have bodily autonomy. Everyone should have the right to choose what they do with their bodies. And having people dictate that is horrific. Not only that, but the laws upon which Roe versus Wade are based in their legal standing currently, the right to privacy involved in all of that is tied into so many other things, like the case that decided same-sex marriage was legal. Just, I mean, access to birth control. Like, the cascade effect that could come from this is absolutely, it's too much to think about almost. So it doesn't feel like there's a whole lot that can be done, right? We've voted for Democrats. They're in office now, and they, in theory, should be doing something about this. So this is where I'm going to repeat what I've said before, but go to 5calls.org and make your calls now as well. If you are of a mind to gather and to protest, make sure you do so safely. And I'm not just talking about the ongoing pandemic. I'm talking about actually staying safe. So do some research. Make sure you know exits, you know contact information. There's a lot of best practices you can find online. Double check all that information. Go make your voice heard, but make sure you're protecting yourself while you do so, especially if you are of a marginalized community. There is a lot going on, more so every day, and we all got to look out for each other. Thanks, heroes. If you enjoyed this show, you should check out some of the other shows on the One Shot Podcast Network. Shows like Neoscum. Neoscum is a narrative comedy podcast featuring five Chicago improvisers antagonizing their way through the role-playing classic Shadowrun. I'm not going to give you the canned recap here because, man, you really just need to go listen to this show. Neoscum absolutely rules out loud, and it is so, so very worth your time. They are on the verge of completing their first season, which, you know, only took 100+ episodes, but it's a delight the entire way down. If you want to see what the show is like and you are wanting to figure out where to jump in, go to neoscum.com/starter and you will find a guide there. Neoscum, good.
As always, a humble and hearty thanks to our supporters on Patreon. If you want to help us in a non-monetary way, the best thing you can do is tell a friend. You can also leave us a rating and review on iTunes. Every 5-star review we get helps new people find the show. For the latest One-Shot news, be sure to follow me on Twitter at OneShotRPG. Look us up on Facebook at facebook.com/OneShotPod, or look for news on the site at OneShotPodcast.com. If you want to inquire about ad rates, live appearances, commissioning episodes, or you have a general question or comment for the show, contact us at GameMaster@OneShotPodcast.com. One-Shot is a production of the One-Shot Podcast Network in association with Paracosm Press. Paracosm Press is a Chicago-based tabletop games publisher. You can find more information at paracosmpress.com. Finally, that music, which is right now swelling up over my voice, is Adventure by Be Your Own Pet, courtesy of Infinity Cat Records. See you next time, heroes.
In the universe of Starwall Odyssey, space is made out of the collective imaginations of all the thinking beings who live on various planets. These worlds are connected to each other through imagination. Common themes and ideas are strings between universes. And to get between them, people fly wooden ships that look like animals, which are powered by emotions. Also, people communicate with each other by contemplating orbs. The only way you can take pictures is getting stared at by a big psychic bug. And people have already declared victory in a war over the very concept of evil. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Starwall Odyssey follows the adventures of the hapless inhabitants of the Lucky Finn tenement building, who suddenly find that their apartment is actually a spaceship, and that they're lost in a sea of boundless imagination. It's an actual play starring me, James D'Amato, Mel D'Amato, Ali Grauer, and Drew Merzieski, as we playtest the No Kings system, which will hopefully one day be the Skyjack's role-playing system. It toes the line between weird and wonderful slice of life and high-flying space fantasy. You can sample the first 5 episodes by searching for Starwall Odyssey on your favorite podcast app, or get the whole thing by heading to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast and signing up for $5 a month or more.